Hi there, welcome along to the Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show, your one-stop shop for hot takes and hot tips on all things golf. I'm Bruce Millington, he's Steve Palmer, and we've got the third major of the season to preview. The US Open starts at the Los Angeles Country Club on Thursday. Before then, we'll be looking back on what happened last weekend. Good weekend for the bookies, I think. A couple of very, very hard to find winners. Before that, though, Steve, just very briefly, and it will be brief because people want to know who you fancy for the US Open. Just before you and Jack came, or just after you and Jack came off air last week, of course, the news broke that the PGA Tour, having been rowing and scrapping and hating Liv, have suddenly decided to jump into bed with them. What are your thoughts on that, really? So obviously been loads and loads written and said about it. What's your overriding thought?
My overriding thought is I can't believe how few people knew about it. You know, it's genuine shock from everyone in there. It seems like about three people knew about it. Incredibly well kept secret. And my other thought is that I can't believe how little people know about it now. You know, we're a week later and still nobody knows whether Live Golf is going to continue, whether they're going to be playing that next year. That nobody knows whether the players from Liv are going to come back onto the PGA Tour. I mean, it's just rumours abound, isn't it? There's just not enough clarity. Do you think in the week that's gone, they would have cemented all this? It seems like it was maybe a bit of a rushed, panic decision. There's rumours that, you know, John Rahm was going to switch to Liv, and that's where they hit the panic button and sign this declaration of union. But yeah, the details. There's so many details to thrash out. And perhaps fines for the people who left for Liv. And then I've heard rumours that those fines may go to the people who stayed loyal to the PGA Tour. But who knows? I certainly don't.
Well, Matt Fitzpatrick said this week that only about four people in the world seem to know what's happening. And since you and I are not one of those four people, let's move on. Yeah. We'll quickly look back on last week because it was one for the bookies, as I say. Nick Taylor, I mean, it's a brilliant finish, dramatic scenes in Canada, finally got the better of Tommy Fleetwood in a playoff with an outrageously long eagle putt on 18. You described him as a Canadian plodder in the previous, I don't want to kick a man when he's down or anything like that, but I was just simply trying to say that he was badly out of form, so although he went up at 60-61, not an easy one to find, but he played well, held it together, didn't he, so fair play.
Well, I mean, if you've been living in a cave for 3 months, you could have had both winners last week. I mean, you're right. Yeah, the bookies would have been happy with those results. But, you know, 3 months ago, Dale Whitnall was playing superbly. And then, you know, you would have been tempted at the fancy prices for the Scandinavian mixed if you just emerged from a cave. And then Nick Taylor was runner up in the Phoenix Open. And he was playing great. But both of those guys more recently had been missing cuts and, you know, were difficult to trust. But, I thought it was brilliant tournament. The Canadian Open just
great, wasn't it?
Comes up. Yeah, I would have loved to have been a neutral, you know. I mean, I've got a couple of places. You know, Eric Cole finished sixth and Justin Rose finished eighth. But if I was watching that tournament as a neutral, I would have thoroughly enjoyed it because, you know, everyone, yeah, we all wanted a Canuck to win, didn't we? Obviously Tommy Fleetwood would have lots of viewers that would have liked to have seen Tommy Fleetwood go on for obvious reasons, but
he was a good sport as well at the end, wasn't he?
He was a great sport. Yeah, he always is a good sport.
Isn't he?
He
is, isn't he? He
would have been heartbroken. Yeah, it's another near miss on the PGA Tour. But yeah, he's very, very measured, isn't he?
And of course, we had the hilarious Adam Hadwin incident, didn't we? Oh, I've seen that. Man. Go on to Twitter and see that. So basically, you know what it's like when a player from one of the sort of less established golfing nations wins, his compatriots always wait by the green, don't they, and leg it on, spray him in champagne. And Hadwin went to do that and got absolutely T-boned by this massive burly security guard, but very impressively managed to keep the champagne spillage to a minimum. I thought that was good, but it was bad, wasn't it?
I thought that was literally the funniest thing I've ever seen. I mean, I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, the security guys, a magnificent rugby tackle, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then he was proud as punch after he'd done it, because he held his arm as if he's like, don't know, he's looking for his colleagues. And then the colleagues come over and say, no, that's Adam Hadwin. But yeah, I suppose he was wearing a hoodie. He didn't look like a golfer, did he?
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I laughed for half an hour at that. Oh, I just couldn't stop laughing. You see so many videos these days, don't you, on the social media.
Yeah.
I think in the last few days, you had the full spectrum because you had that's the funniest thing that's ever been seen. And then you had the fella getting eaten by the shark, you know, the least funny thing I've ever seen.
I've not seen that.
Oh, blimey. Well, maybe you shouldn't bother if you ever want to go back in the sea. I mean, I'm never going back in the sea. Yeah, you had Adam Adwin, the funniest thing ever, and then the least funny thing ever. Yeah, in Egypt, a Russian lad, only 23, got eaten by a shark. And some,
what, and there's a video of it?
Yeah, some woman's filming it on the on the beach. Yeah, I think she would have been better help trying to get the boat to help him, but the boat was too late. Yeah. Sorry, I brought the mood down there. But there's all sorts of content out there, isn't there?
There certainly is, yeah. So Dale Whitnall, what I was very impressed by there, he opened up that enormous 36-hole lead and defended it valiantly, I thought. There was a couple of times we thought he might come back to the field, but he really held it together. It must be quite difficult, that, mustn't it, Steve? Because you've got, you know, it's not just when you're on the golf course, but you've got the fretting in between rounds and the pressure that must build up. So yeah, fair play to him for holding on there. And if you backed him at 150-1, what a result for you.
Yeah, I mean, it meant an awful lot to him. You know, he broke down in the interview afterwards.
He thanked his dog, didn't he? Most people thank God, but he thanked dog, which is quite unusual, yeah.
Yeah, the reverse spelling, isn't it? Yeah, maybe he got muddled up and was so overcome. He wanted to thank God, but thanking a dog. But you've got to be pleased with Dale Whitnall, wouldn't you? But as I say, 3 months ago, he was in good form, and then he just went, yeah, form is temporary, isn't it? I mean, it's just... Yeah, ability. Yeah. He had the ability to win the Scandinavian mix quite clearly. Yannick Paul got within three, didn't he, at one stage to put the willies up in. But you're right, he responded well. So, yeah, we're pleased for Dale. I think he's from your neck of the woods, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah. You might bump into Dale in the pub at the weekend. But, okay. Yeah, great tournaments. Nick, yeah, two really nice chaps, weren't they? Nick Taylor, a quiet, unassuming, pleasant chap. And, yeah, when that putt went in from a different zip code, as they say. Yeah. He didn't know what to do, did he? He just sort of stared for a bit. I mean, there was a pause where he thought, "Blimey, heck, I've actually done it."
And also on that subject, I almost hit his caddy in a delayed fashion, because his caddy went to sort of give him a regulation high five to start with, and then upgraded it to the full kind of hug and race. Yeah. So
and then the caddy had to switch his attention to the security guard, didn't he? Because he was
the vouch for Adam Adwin. Yeah.
I'm so happy that happened, because every time I'm feeling glum, I'll just watch that and it'll perk me up.
Well, when I feel glum, I watch a YouTube video of the Hibs fans singing Sunshine on Leith. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
It's the most uplifting things. You should have that in your locker, mate. It's really nice. And also the moment when Ian Wright recognises his old PE teacher. There's bits out there. I go to them like Valium, just to keep me calm and get me back up. Yeah,
it's probably better than Valium, because Valium have some nasty side effects, wouldn't it?
Right, are we done with our recap?
I think we are, yeah. Let's crack on. We've got a major on our horizons.
We certainly do that. And that horizon is very much this Thursday, like I say, US Open at the Los Angeles Country Club. Never hosted the tournament before. Tell us all about LA Country Club. What I will say, Steve, we've got slight conflicting reports, haven't we? Because I got a message from someone who lives in the LA area, and they said, look, the rough that they...
Was it Lionel Richie?
No, it wasn't Lionel Richie. No. He was basically saying that they planted loads of rough, expecting it to be absolutely brutal, but that it wasn't. And this guy reckoned minus 20 was going to win it. But since then, all I've seen is videos of people dropping golf balls in and then disappearing into what looks like almost sludge, and all sorts of predictions of, you know, level par on the usual kind of very harsh US Open. So what are your course thoughts on what you've gleaned?
Well, it's Bermuda rough, isn't it? We haven't had a US Open with Bermuda rough since 2005 at Pinehurst. So it can be very, very thick, tangly stuff. But I think your mate might be more onto it than I saw Patrick Cant. They say he thinks level par will win. And the USGA traditionally like level par to win. But no, I think we're going to get low scoring course. We're at the North Course, Los Angeles Country Club, California IA, 7,423 yards, par 70. Only three par fives, five par threes, a George Thomas Jr. design. The Los Angeles Open was at this venue many moons ago. 1940 was the last one. But then it just became a private members club, which shut its gates to outsiders. You know, very exclusive, this. Only the super wealthy were allowed to play in this course. And the members didn't want any tournaments at their club. They actually voted against the US Open come in there. But recently there was a leadership change, and the new club chief's much more welcoming to outsiders. Jill Hance was brought in to redesign the course in 2010. Then we had the 2013 Pac-12 Championship there, a prestigious amateur tournament, and then the 2017 Walker Cup. So tournament golf is now being played there. And finally, the members have been convinced to let the US Open, you know, run wild on their hallowed turf. But there's going to be conditions. I'd like to make this point. Yeah, you're right. It's a fascinating week for many reasons. But the conditions are, yeah, due to this, you presumably you've been in Los Angeles as a jet setter. Yeah. Yeah. This is in the heart of Beverly Hills. And you know, there's going to be logistical issues. But I think that the members didn't want this to turn into a traditional US Open with, you know, hundreds of millions of patrons in there. So basically, only 22,000 tickets have been sold to spectators for each day of action. That is the lowest I can ever remember for a US Open. 14,000 of those tickets are for corporate hospitality. So, yeah, they'll just be sitting there, you know, quaffing their champagne and not really getting hugely involved. So you're only going to have 8,000 spectators, you know, general public roaming the fairways each day. I think it's going to be one of the quietest US Opens in history. Mm. You know, bear in mind the Masters, traditionally the more reserved one, you know, quiet Augusta, there's 40,000 a day allowed in for the Masters. So, you know, almost half for this one. So
it'd be almost like a COVID tournament, won't it?
I think it's going to be a very strange atmosphere, and, you know, factor it into your calculations. You know, it won't
the weather's feel nice, though, isn't it?
Oh, the weather's amazing. Yeah. The weather's amazing. Sunny and calm throughout, peaking at 23°C, you know, zero draw bias. You can bet with confidence there. Every day is exactly the same. I think something like 12 under par might win. At least I think you probably have to get to 12 under par to have a chance, really, because the average fairway width is 43 yards.
I mean, that's again, wide, isn't it?
Yeah, for a US Open, it's unheard of. So I think we're going to get a quiet US Open. We're going to get some, yeah, fairly easy tee shots. There's loads of room off the tee. The rough hasn't grown as they would have liked. You know, you get the annual, you know, I know the videos you're referring to, but yeah, one of them is by the USGA. It seems they're trying to convince people that it's still the same as a usual gym, but it's not.
Yeah, and you don't know how many takes there's been, do you? They could have dropped it 50 times to get one to disappear.
That's right. Yeah, the other 49 might be sitting up like a coconut. But yeah, it looks fairly easy for a US Open. But I think approach shots is the key. The
greens, approach shots. Yeah,
the greens are very thin, actually, very thin greens. Well guarded, so you know, accurate iron play is the most important.
That always seems to be the case these days. I can't remember a last tournament where that wasn't the key attribute. But,
there you go.
That's the name of the game these days. And am I right in thinking there's like a monster par three that's sort of over 280 yards?
You are right in thinking that. Yeah. There's going to need a lot of tool to get that one in. The par threes are going to be absolutely crucial this week. Yeah, they vary in distance dramatically. You've got the shortest par three in history, which Tiger Woods said is the hardest one. I mean, they asked Tiger Woods about it. It's 112 yards, I think. But he says if you miss the green, you've got no chance of making par. So he says that's the hardest one. Fascinating.
Wow, I'm looking forward to it. You've whetted my appetite. I'll spin through the betting, and I'll before I read the prices out, I will stress the importance of shopping around, not just for best prices and not just for most places, but you've got to look at the fraction on that. There was someone who said, you know, why can't you mention the sweet spot? I think it was a tournament of whatever, it was the USPGA, and they'd seen 12 places, but they didn't realize it was a sixth of 12. So you must shop around, because some firms are 6 of 12. There's a quarter of the 5. There's a fifth of 8. There's a fifth of 12. There's a fifth of 10. It's really important. If you notice the number of places, you also need to notice the fraction. It's very important. So with that in mind, I'm going to read out some prices that are based on a quarter of the 5. So these should be roughly the best prices in the marketplace.
Are you sure, sir? I think that's 58. 58, I'm guessing. I might have mismerged you, but...
You have, yeah, thanks. Oh, yeah, okay. Quarter of the 5. You pick the winners, I'll do this one. Quarter of the 5. Scotty Scheffler, 8-1. John Rahm, 11-1. Brooks Koepka, 14-1. Rory McIlroy, 16. Cantlay, 20. Hovland, 20. Schauffele, 25. Spieth, 25. Matt Fitzpatrick, 33. Cam Smith, 33. Max Homa, 33. Colin Morikawa, 33. Tyrrell Hatton 40, Tony Finau 40, Justin Thomas 40, Dustin Johnson 40, Jason Day 40, Justin Rose 40, and it's 50 bars. So that gives you a taste of it. All the good ones are there. Steve, I know that you you've decided to rest the larynx last week. If you've got four selections, I want to hear it nice and loud. If you've got another number, what is it?
It's five.
Five selections. Right then, who do you think will be lifting the trophy on Sunday?
I think Maximus Homo will be lifting the trophy. 28-1, getting eight each way places is my tactic. A local lad who seems sure to be inspired by his surroundings. Homo was born in Los Angeles County, and he excelled at Los Angeles Country Club in that 2013 pack 12 championship I mentioned. He opened with a course record 61. He went on to win the tournament by five shots. A decade later, here he is back at LACC as world number seven. He's got all the tools required to rip this layout to shreds again. He's one of the best iron players in the world. Accurate approaches seems the key to success this week. His short game is fantastic as well. He's a magnificent putter. Driving is probably the weakest aspect of his game. The fairways are generous at this track, as mentioned. The rough is nothing to worry about. And he's got firm, fast conditions. You know, Homer can hit three wood on plenty of holes this week with no problemo. Four of his six PGA Tour victories have come in California. He relishes performing in his home state. His first win in California came 20 minutes down the road from LACC. You know, Riviera Country Club is only 20 minutes down the road. He was runner-up to John Rahm in the Genesis this year. He's ready to contend in major championships. He hasn't done it before, but he's never been as good as he is now. You know, he's a late bloomer. He's 32. He won the Farmers Insurance Open in January. That's another US Open venue in California, Torrey Pines. He showed a huge amount of courage in that. He was sixth in the Players' Championship in March, ninth in Colonial last time out. Nice little warm-up. And his sister, I think, has helped him. I mean, at the time when I saw... Yeah, because I saw that he was skipping the memorial to attend his sister's wedding. And I was a bit angry with his sister at that stage. I thought, oh, yeah, it's a designated elevated event. Couldn't she have fit it around his schedule a bit? But I think his sister's been very clever and, he realised he needed to freshen up for the US Open, booked it in for the memorial and has helped him because he's fresh for the fight this week. You know, US Open mentally draining. Homer's fresh for the fight. And the icing on the cake is his par three performance statistics. He's second on the PGA Tour for par three performance. I think those five par threes are going to be pivotal and Homer's ready for them.
Wow. So it was Dale Whitnall's dog last week. Could be Max Homer's sister this week that holds the key to victory. Okay, if it's not Homer, who could be the man?
I think Victor Hovland at 16-1 is very fair. You know, like Homer, won on a difficult golf course this year. He was having a solid but winless season. Then last time out, held his nerve spectacularly at Murfield Village to win the Memorial. You know, everyone was struggling on that back nine. He was 3 under par for the back nine. An incredible Sunday performance. That was a firm fast track, like the one he's going to get this week. His ball striking is so impressive, so solid. He made his US Open debut in California, 2019, as an amateur. Finished 12th at Pebble Beach. And recently he's been knocking on that door of becoming a major champion. He was fourth in the Open at St. Andrews last summer, seventh in the Masters in April, second in the USPGA last month. Yeah, there was no disgrace in defeat, was there? He gave Brooks Koepka a real battle at Oak Hill. And it was just that one shot on the 70th hole, which hit the lip of the fairway bunker. Until that moment, he was giving Koepka a real fight. And then bounced back at Memorial. I mean, I think Hovland at the age of 25 is ready to win majors, and his California record is good. Second at Torrey Pines in the 2021 Farmers. Riviera form, you know, got to study Riviera form this week. They're so close and there's similarities between the two tracks. His form figures are 5-4-20 at Riviera. And one final thought for you. Six of the last seven US Opens have been won by a major maiden. You know, I think Homer and Hovland are likely lads to play that role.
I like that. I wonder if the bookmakers do a top golfer beginning with HO category. That'd be quite impressive, wouldn't it?
It would. I hope they do.
Who else would be in that?
It's a bloody good question.
You've got quite enough on your plate this week without worrying about my silly questions.
I'm just put off because I've got a slightly different design on the Skype today and our producer Will is down as WC. It's got his initials there, so it's just putting me off a little bit. I just reminding me I might need to go to the water closet in a minute. Sorry, I wish I had mentioned that now. But let's move on.
Interesting insight to mine. Right, where does Ricky Fowler fit into the staking plan?
He's not in the staking plan, and obviously I'm going to be devastated if he wins. I think he's got a chance, but what happened at Memorial? Well, he bogeyed the final three holes on Saturday, bogeyed the final three holes on Sunday.
Final straw, Ricky. I've had enough of you. Go on, off you go. That's what you said, is it?
I just felt like in a regulation event like that, if he couldn't hold it together on those closing holes in a major like this one, maybe it'd be more difficult. I don't know. I was tempted again, but no, he's not in the staking plan.
Okay, who is?
Siwoo Kim, my lord, 66-1, who proved when winning the Players' Championship at the age of 21 that he could beat elite fields. You know, he can win massive events. He won at Sawgrass by 3 shots. He's always had bundles of courage. We've seen that also in the President's Cup. He's a special character. He's a madcap Korean, but he's gifted. He's good enough to win majors. In the Sony
what does he
Open,
do that's madcap?
Loads of things. I mean, he snapped his putter at Augusta. He's the only player in the world who's ever had a fit of pique at Augusta. You can't do that at the Cathedral of Pines, but Siwoo doesn't play by the rules. He was putting with a 3-wood at Augusta. Last year, just final example, he had a fit of pique on one tee, dropped the ball, didn't bother teeing it up, and just hit driver off the deck when he was back. Yeah, when he was in contention. Yeah, he's headstrong. He's headstrong, but a little bit crazy. In the Sony Open 5 months ago, carded back-to-back weekend rounds of 64 to win his fourth PGA Tour title. And he loves playing in California. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in California in 2015. Then on the PGA Tour in 2021, he won the American Express. You might remember that one because we were on him. And he repelled Patrick Cantlay. He loves the Golden State. He was third in the 2019 Genesis at Riviera. And his recent form is really encouraging. Second in the Byron Nelson a month ago, fourth in the Memorial last time out. So Siwoo Kim, my lord.
Oh, I like that, Steve. Like that. Are you happy with my nodding frequency, by the
way? Yeah, I'm just a bit more
nodding.
Last
time we were on, you lambasted me for not nodding enough. So I'm
you are being very generous, not only with your nodding, but with your facial expressions. I've seen some smiles. No, I couldn't be more encouraged.
Okay, mate. Jolly good. Right then. Well, in that case, I hope that spurs you on to do a great delivery of your fourth selection.
Minwoo Lee, my lord. We got woos everywhere. Minwoo Lee is 100-1. This is a man who relishes major competition. He was 14th on his Masters debut, 27th on his US Open debut, 21st in the Open at St. Andrews last summer, 18th in the USPGA last month. Brings his best to the majors. He's a class act. He'll be licking his lips at this firm, fast LACC, as everyone likes to call it. The Aussies have grown up on fast, firm terrain. And Minwoo is a master of that stinger shot. You must have seen Minwoo at the stinger shot. He can hit a long iron. Miles, or like a runway like fairways like this. I think that's a great shot for it to have in your locker this week. He's also got magic touch around the greens. Yeah, everyone's going to be missing greens this week. Minwoo is one of the best in the world around the greens. And I think he's ready to win an elite event like this. You saw that in the Players' Championship in March was a huge stepping stone for me. Played in the final two ball with Scottie Scheffler, ended up finishing sixth. I just think that proved that Minwoo is elite. He's now got a PGA Tour card in his pocket as well. He's more relaxed now than ever. He got special temporary membership. I think he's going to be on the PGA Tour forever. I think it's entirely feasible he wins his first major on Sunday.
Wow. So we've got four tips and you're already tipped. We've got one more tip coming. You're already tipping 100-1 shot. So is this even more exotic? Don't tell me who it is yet. I want to try and guess.
Oh, okay. I have a little thought because I've got that itchy nose.
Tell me the price. Tell me the price and then I'll ruminate while you're scratching your nose.
250-1. I'm going to go for the biggest nose scratch in history.
Okay. sorry.
Any guesses?
No, I was captivated by that.
It's so sweaty in the shed.
Is it someone you've tipped before on the show?
Oh yeah.
And what's the nationality?
His nationality is American, Californian.
Not Tom Hoagie.
No, it's not Tom Hoagie.
No, I don't know. Go on, who is it? Put me out of my misery.
Justin, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Justin, sir. Yeah, I'm top and tailing my attack with Californians. You know, home is my main hope, but Justin, sir, one hell of a player. Couldn't believe 251 was up for grabs. Yeah, you know, he was a college star at the University of Southern California, which is in Los Angeles. He was world number one amateur for 26 ruddy weeks. You know, he's always destined to be a superstar, and it is going to happen. You know, injuries stopped him making a smooth transition from the amateur game to the pro ranks, but he's making a serious impact now. He turned 26 yesterday. He's got the world at his feet. He was the Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year last season. You know, super consistent campaign, ended with the Corn Ferry Tour Championship victory, and then onto the PGA Tour, 20th in the Farmers Insurance Open in January, 5th in the Honda Classic, 6th in the Players' Championship. More recently, 26th in the USPGA, 16th at Colonial. Really dangerous outsider. And if our hunch, I think you agree with me, this is going to be a low-scoring US Open. Yeah, if that comes true, I want some top-notch putters on my side. Homer's a top-notch putter. Sue is an absolutely dynamite putter. Uses a really old putter that he's had since his school days, a Nike putter that they don't even make anymore. He's had to buy some off eBay. But he uses that tool really effectively. And, he'll love a low-scoring event. 251. Come on, have some respect. Brilliant.
Oh, love all that, Steve. That's a really nice, really nice odds package. As you
say, I'm glad you got my package.
If you get the Racing Post tomorrow, you will get Steve's comments on every single player. So that is an essential purchase. There's loads more in there, all the prices, all the stats, Steve's thoughts, not just on the outright, but all the derivative markets, loads in there. It's a really great package. So I don't want to give all that great content away for free, but should ask about the big two in the market, who are Rahm and Scheffler. First question, who do you prefer out of those two?
Oh, much prefer Rahm. A prolific winner in California. His maiden PGA Tour title came in California. He's won a US Open in California 2 years ago. He won at Riviera in February. He was 10th in that Pac-12 amateur event I mentioned that Homer won. So he has got some course experience, which not many people have. It's very hard to get away from Rahm. It's a very flimsy reason for opposing him. But I mean, the price is obviously, I don't want to back anyone at single figures. It feels like a very wide open major, this, particularly if the course plays as easy as expected. So I don't want to back anyone at single figures, but there's also a difficult media conference for him to negotiate because, you know, these rumors.
He's going to be asked if he was going to flip.
Well, rumors are abound. The reason that the PGA Tour did this is because Rahm was about to sign for LIV. So he's got some.
And as you say,
questions.
Steve, what happened at the start of, as you say at the start of the show, what's happened since suggests that they did just have to hop into bed with them and didn't think about the ramifications. Who's going to pay the gas bill? Formed this union, haven't they? But they haven't really thought it through. So perhaps it was that triggered it. Because there was, as you say, it was a totally out of the blue. Nobody saw it coming, so perhaps it was something like that, and therefore there will be a bit of scrutiny on Rahm. What about Scheffler?
Yeah, they haven't thought about the ramifications. He's not for me. That amazing ball striking. Yeah, he's being backed. He's a well-supported favourite now. The putting is rubbish, but the reason he's getting punted so heavily now, I think, is because he's put a new putter in the bag. Yeah, people have been wondering for weeks why he's not switching putters. You know, most players, when they go into a putting slump, just straight on. You know, Dustin Johnson goes through 10 putters a day. He's got a new one in the bag this week. So maybe if he clicks with that putter and then, you know, takes advantage of the ball striking, he's a big runner. But he's not got a great record in California. Some players much more comfortable on the West Coast, some much comfortable on the East Coast.
Geographically, it shouldn't matter. It's a golf course, but there are actual practical reasons, aren't they? Sort of terrain they're playing on, isn't it?
Very much so, John. And John Rahm, much better than Scottie Scheffler in California. Brooks Koepka, must mention him because he's vying for
the major.
He's only 11-1. I mean, he's never done anything in California. He's a Florida man through and through. I can live without 11-1 Koepka. You know, McIlroy 12-1. I can definitely live without that. I mean, speaking of Jack last week, I think he's in a melee. I mean, that's two Sundays in a row. He was really disappointing at Memorial Sunday, Canadian Open. I mean, again, faded from the ball very quickly. I think
it's 12 years since he won this, Steve. All his best form is in the dim and distant, isn't it, really?
I think McIlroy's in a melee. I don't think I'll be back in McIlroy until he wins, because I think that's the only way out of the melee. And then you get to your Cantleys and your Schaefeles. I mean, they're both Californians, both be well back this week. I mean, Cantley, hugely tempting, but I must mention the one thing that put me off him was the par three performance stats. It mentioned the 5 par threes, and he's tailed off in par three performance, which is quite a curious stat.
Really hard par threes, which they seem to be then.
Yeah, and he loves Riviera. He's got a lot going from Cantley, but you can't back them all, can you?
You certainly can't, mate. You really can't.
Do you want free golf bets? Head over to racingpost.com/freebets now to claim all of the best offers from your favourite bookmakers.
Tell us, have you got anything on the specials? I know there'll obviously be a full array of derivative tips. Have you got anything for us now?
You didn't seem enthused when you did the USPJ about the special tip, so I haven't prepared for that.
I wasn't unenthused at all.
I'm hoping you're unenthused now because I haven't got any for you.
But okay.
I will have some online at some point later today in Racing Post newspaper tomorrow. Right.
Have you got anything to add on this tournament?
Not sure I have. I mean, I can see why a lot of people will back Xander Schauffele at 20-1. Another tempting one. His US Open record is amazing. He's a San Diego man. I've been learning a lot about California. Apparently, San Diego and Los Angeles are very different vibes. You know, San Diego, a very quiet, sleepy place, and Los Angeles, like, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's close to Hollywood, isn't it? You know, Beverly Hills, Hollywood.
Yeah, but does that really matter there?
I just don't know whether it's a golf course, isn't it?
I
always look for, like, home advantage. I don't know whether Schauffele is going to turn up feeling like he's at a home game. He's from the different sort of vibe of San Diego. Who knows? This is a wide open golf tournament. Let's be perfectly frank about it. There's many players you can make a good case for. I mean, we haven't mentioned Colin Morikawa, who was my original fancy at the start of the year. I mean, if he hadn't picked up that back injury at Memorial, you know, he pulled out of the Memorial with back spasms when banging contention. So those back spasms would have been ruddy serious. So he almost becomes unbackable, if you pardon the pun, for this on the basis of fitness concerns. But, I mean, he knows Los Angeles Country Club better than anyone in the field. He starred in that Walker Cup there in 2017, you know, maximum points. So, Morikawa certainly deserves a ruddy mention at the very least.
Okay, mate, well, you just got one. Anyone else you want to mention before we wrap? David Horsey. See, David Horsey's in the field, isn't he? There's a few sort of PGA Tour favourites over there, isn't
it? Just shows how open the US Open is, isn't it? You can get in it if you play well at the right times and the right qualifiers. And good luck to David Horsey. It will be a dry in the house if he
absolutely not. And how's your pecker? Are you in good spirits? I know last week you seemed a little bit glum. You had some gout issues, didn't you?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's a big test for me this year. On day eight of no alcohol, you know, doctor's orders, no alcohol. Day eight. No side effects. No serious side effects. I don't know. I mean, this itchy nose is back. I don't know whether that's a side effect. I mean,
that's surely the pollen, isn't it? I mean, I didn't get hay fever till I was about 50, and my eyes are streaming. It's all this pollen bombs apparently at the moment.
You used to be a naysayer, didn't you? I remember back in the Canary Wharf days, you used to mock people who said they had hay fever and say it
didn't
exist.
No, that was Paul Keighley. That wasn't me. But the pollen bombs are causing havoc. They really are.
But I'm taking pills that are like massive, great big rocks to get the gout out of the toes. So, I must admit, I'm looking forward to a drink, but I need the toe to go down first.
So does that mean we still can't arrange golf? Because I asked you if you wanted to play golf last week. You know, I can't. I've got gout. I've got very...
I'm not moving well. Yeah, I'm sorry I rebuffed you, but yeah, I can't walk very well at the moment. So I'm sure I'll come through it. Don't you? I'll bounce back. But teetotal and focused on LACC.
Okay, well, hopefully you're enjoying the lovely weather as well and getting down to the beach occasionally. So that's all good. Right, it's a wrap then, isn't it? Or should we just reiterate your five fancies for the US Open?
Max Homer, Victor Hovland, Siwoo Kim, my lord, Minwoo Lee, Justin Sir.
And the winning score will be?
13 under par.
And who will be your favourite Sky Sports golf presenter or pundit on the week, do you think? I mean, surely if Butch is on the team, it's Butch, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a tough question to ask because we don't know who's on the team, don't we? Butch, unless Ricky Fowler wins. If Ricky Fowler wins and Butch is commentating on it and I'm not on Ricky Fowler, I think I might struggle with that. But we'll see who's on the team. I mean, we're going to have some late nights. We probably should mention that.
You know, what time might they finish up? Because an eight-hour time difference, isn't it?
Let's warn our viewers that if at all possible, get plenty of sleep in during the day. I know that's never easy, but we're going to be in the wee small hours. It doesn't start until 2:45 p.m. on Thursday, and then Yeah. Every night's going to be very late. So it's, okay. Yeah, it's a test of stamina.
Well, let's hope it's worth it. Enjoy it, Steve. Good luck with your tips. Good luck to everyone with your bets. Like I say, when you shop around, don't just look for best prices and most places, but also keep an eye on that fraction, because it can be anywhere between a quarter, a sixth, I've even seen a seventh. Next week, we are back for the BMW International and the Travelers Championship. In the meantime, enjoy the sunshine and enjoy the golf. Have a fantastic week.